daughter. And my heart sang. I had not seen Gabriella since the summer, when she'd come for a too brief visit to the country house of Lady Aline Carrington. We'd spent 2 weeks together, but Gabriella had been shy with me, preferring the company of her chaperones, a stepfather's brother and wife who travelled with her from France. Just as Gabriella had begun to grow more confident with me, her visit had come to an end, and she'd returned home. Her mother, my former wife, had not wanted Gabriella away for long. This time, however, my friends, abetted by Gabriella's French uncle and aunt, had convinced the former Mrs. Lacey to allow Gabriella to spend the entire season in England with me. She'd live with us after my marriage in Lady Breckinridge's Mayfair home. Gabriella had arrived at Dover a few days ago with her chaperones, and Earl Pembroke had dispatched his personal carriage to take them from there straight to Oxfordshire. Marrying Donata Breckinridge was one reason I hurried to leave dank and cold London. But the thought of seeing my daughter again put wings on my feet. "The matter is a simple one," Marianne said, breaking my thoughts. "I'm certain you can clear it up in a trice. You generally do." "Not quite. The last problem I'd cleared up had taken 2 weeks, and I'd ridden miles, had seen gruesome sights, and had been battered and beaten for my pains. I'd also done things and looked the other way at things done by others that still made me uncomfortable in the night. But I knew trying to put Marianne off would never work. She could be persistent to the point of madness. "What matter?" I asked. "A friend has gone missing," Marianne said. She stroked the fur of her muff, the short, jerky movements telling me she was more worried than she cared to reveal. "An actress. From the company at Drury Lane. I thought you might look into it for me, since you excel at finding the missing." I hated that word. Missing. I'd looked for missing women in London before. To tragic end. Unfortunately, people went missing all the time. Young men were impressed onto the large merchant ships that gathered on the London docks and Isle of Dogs. Young women were lured by procuresses into houses of ruin. The elderly wandered away from home and were never found again. Compassion stirred beneath my haste. "How long has she been gone?"
"Going on for 6 months now."
I set the drawer down with a thump, some of the anxiety leaving me. "A 6 month? And you expect me to find her in the afternoon before I leave for my wedding?"
"Of course not. But I hoped you could make a start.
One of our pals told me that Abigail went off in early summer, saying she'd return for the theatre's season, as per usual. But she's not been back, and her pal is getting worried. Abigail's not written, though she was never one for writing letters." "A moment. Are you speaking of Mrs. Abigail Collins?"
"That's the one."
Abigail Collins was one of the most famous tragic actresses of the stage these days. The next Sarah Siddons, everyone called her. I'd watched enthralled as Mrs. Collins transformed herself into her characters, from those in great Shakespearean plays to ones from lesser-known modern melodramas. She blossomed as soon as she walked on stage and held the audience in her power until she left it. She and Mr. Keane, a great tragedian in his own right, between them filled every seat in Drury Lane Theatre. "You know Mrs. Collins well?" I asked.
"Abby,"
Marianne studied her muff.
"Yes, we're acquainted. You know everyone when you're in a theatre company. Better than you wish to, sometimes."
I sensed something more in the reply than Marianne wanted to say. However, I was familiar with Marianne's stubbornness and decided not to try to pull the information from her at the moment. "Perhaps she decided to do more travelling," I said, "or is engaged in a series of performances elsewhere." Marianne shook her head.
"Abby would never leave it so late. The new plays open the day after New Year's."
"Perhaps she is with someone, then. A lover."
"Abby? Run off to see a man? Not likely. When she has an affair, known or discreet, she never lets it interfere with her performances. She'd never risk missing an opening night for a lover. Abby's life is the stage. She's devoted to it. And nothing more."
In Marianne's tone, I heard resignation and exasperation at the same time. Marianne herself had once had the habit of disappearing from London and returning when she pleased, refusing to answer questions as to where she'd been. Grenville, at first, had assumed she'd gone off to a lover, spending all the money Grenville gave her on him. And I admit I had thought the same. The solution to the mystery of Marianne's disappearances had turned out to be something quite different, however.